something pleasant, know that it's pleasant. When you feel something unpleasant, know that it's unpleasant. It's really, really simple. At least the instructions are simple. But it's not actually very easy. First, we have to recognize whether what we're feeling is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And we're not really trained in this area so well. And most often, when we experience something pleasant, as I said earlier, we move right to the wanting. And that's the way we're trained, actually. We're very used to just simply responding to the feeling tone, either grabbing onto it or pushing it away. And what happens, so to kind of go through the process, is if we see something that we like, we might start. First, there's the experience of the pleasantness of the thing that we like, and then starts happening, like, oh, I really like that thing. Wouldn't it be nice if I had it? And wouldn't it look good here in my house? And then the planning starts to how we can get the thing, and then we start taking action on those thoughts. So stopping this usual momentum of the mind as it springs from pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral into thoughts and further into action is not easy. But it's helped immensely by knowing that feeling is something useful to pay attention to. And this feeling can also be quite subtle. It's not something that we normally notice in our experience. It's not something that we typically, that screams out at us, because we're so used to just responding to it. But once we start bringing attention to it, it's actually pretty obvious. So if we bump our funny bone, it's pretty obviously unpleasant. Or if we're eating something that we like, it's pretty obviously pleasant, if we know to pay attention to that aspect of experience. What's hard to do is to stop there, just at the actual aspect of feeling the pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral experience. But when you start to see this, when you start to see the feeling tone and how the mind responds to it very quickly, you're seeing something very deep and very fundamental about the nature of the mind. So all experiences are physical experience, and our mental experiences have this feeling tone. All experiences have this feeling tone. In the guided meditation, I was primarily asking you to pay attention to physical sensations. That's where it's usually the easiest to see the feeling tone, at least initially. But mental events also have a feeling tone. So anger, for example, is usually unpleasant. Happiness is usually pleasant. And thoughts themselves also have a subtle feeling tone. But more often what happens with thoughts is that a thought will arise and there'll be some kind of a reaction to the thought. There'll be a movement in the mind around the thought, and it's that experience that we are actually reacting to. There may be a thought arise in the mind about how I knocked over a glass the other day, and that's just a thought in the mind about an event that happened. And then there may be a reaction to, oh, how could I have been so stupid? Now that part, that is an unpleasant experience. There's probably a contraction in the body around that that thought. So actually this type of reaction to thoughts underlies the belief, often can underlie the belief, that even certain physical sensations are pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So, for example, one night I woke up in the middle of the night and I had trouble sleeping, so I decided to meditate in the middle of the night. And as I was meditating, as I got into my meditation, I heard this tapping sound. And the tapping sound was unpleasant. That was my experience of it initially. The tapping sound was unpleasant. And as I kept paying attention to my experience, I noticed a contraction in the body when I heard the tapping sound. And that was unpleasant. The contraction in the body was definitely unpleasant. And as I continued observing even further, I noticed a very subtle fear arising around the tapping sound. And the fear was also unpleasant. And as I just rested with the fear, as I was just able to be with that very subtle fear. It wasn't a huge fear, it was just very quiet little fear. When the tapping sound occurred again, I realized that the tapping itself was neutral, or even slightly pleasant. It was just a gentle tap, tap, tap. And so it was the reaction in the mind, the fear and the contraction in the body, that made me think initially that that sound, that that physical sense was unpleasant. The fact that all experience, our entire range of experience, has this feeling tone also helps to explain a little bit about why it's so difficult to break out of this cycle that I talked about earlier, the cycle of dependent origination. In the cycle, feeling leads to craving, craving leads to clinging, which leads to becoming, which ultimately leads to suffering. And if we pay attention to the feeling tone of the actual experiences in each of those links, so the wanting, the feeling tone itself has the feeling tone, maybe it's unpleasant, and then there's the wanting to get rid of it. That wanting, whether it's wanting something pleasant or wanting to get rid of something unpleasant, that wanting itself is an unpleasant experience. If you can pay attention to the wanting itself, you'll see that it's an unpleasant experience to want something. The body feels like it's, things are not right. There's something that needs to be moved in the world. So, in our usual state of mind, the feeling of becoming, though, the feeling of getting something and identifying with it, that's usually pleasant. There's that moment of satisfaction, that moment of, things are right now. And what we learn over and over again in our experience is that when we get something that we want, we actually get a double hit of pleasant, because when the wanting ends, when we get what we want, the wanting ends, and that experience of the unpleasant sensation of the wanting, when that goes away, that's actually a pleasant feeling. So we get a double hit of pleasant every time we get something that we want. We get the pleasant of the wanting going away, and we get the pleasant of, this is what I want. And that really sends us through this cycle over and over again. We learn, we think this is the way to go. If we can just get what we want, we will be happy. One sutta states, all things converge on feeling. And I'll just read a little bit of that sutta as well. All things are rooted in desire. They come to actual existence through attention, originate from contact, and converge on feelings. To me, when I understood this, it really called to my attention the importance of understanding feeling. We experience a wide variety of sense impressions. We experience sound, smells, taste, touch. We think we respond directly to those sense impressions. We think we respond to, I like blue. I don't like the smell of roofing tar. I don't like it when my partner says that to me. We think we're responding directly to the actual sense impression. But all of our sense impressions converge on feeling. Some of us like blue. For some of us, blue is pleasant. For most of us, the smell of roofing tar is unpleasant. Being happy is pleasant. So the example about not liking what my partner said to me is a little more complex, but it might unfold something like this. So when your partner speaks, there's hearing. And depending on the tone of voice that your partner uses, there may be an unpleasant or pleasant quality to that actual physical experience of hearing. But then there's a thought or an idea that forms around the what your partner said. And that thought or idea is probably what the feeling tone is rooted in. And that's what we're reacting to, is that thought in our own mind. That's why we don't like what our partner said. So from our wide variety of sense impressions, our reaction to those experiences really comes down to whether something is pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. It's like this, it's a very narrow gateway through which we react to our experience. It's a springboard that we leap into wanting or leap into not wanting. All things converge on feeling. So I'd like to talk about some ways to start to practice with the feeling tone. And becoming attuned to the feeling tone of experience can take some time. But as I said earlier, probably the easiest place to bring your attention to the feeling tone is in the body, in physical sensation. The nerve endings that respond to touch are very, very sensitive to pleasant and unpleasant sensation. And in fact, the body will automatically respond to pleasant or unpleasant sensation, sometimes even before we have consciously felt the experience. As for example, most of us have had the experience of grasping a hot pan on the stove and notice that our hand lets go of it before we actually feel the burn. The burn comes a split second later. So simply explore in your experience the pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral experience. You might pick a task that you do regularly, brushing your teeth, for example, and just see if you can notice where pleasant sensation arises, where unpleasant sensation arises, where it's not particularly either, where it's kind of neutral. Or maybe taking a walk or chopping vegetables, just something that happens routinely in your day. See where the pleasant and unpleasant comes up. One commentary to the suttas, the Visuddhimagga, says that while the sensation of touch can have pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral experience, that all the other four sense doors, for all the other four sense doors, the bare experience at those sense doors is actually neutral. And that any time we experience something pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, or something pleasant or unpleasant at one of the other four sense doors, it's because of a reactivity in the mind. I'm not sure if I completely believe this, but it's a very interesting exploration. And the reason why I don't know if I believe it is because in taste, I feel like there are some tastes that are repulsive because they're not good for the body. So I feel like there's probably some tastes, at least some tastes, that are inherently pleasant or unpleasant. But it's a very interesting exploration, and I like to use it as a kind of a koan for myself. If I'm experiencing something pleasant or unpleasant at one of the non-tactile sense doors, at sight, sound, smell, or taste, to see if there is some kind of reactivity going on in that leads to the pleasant or unpleasant quality of the experience. An excellent place to begin observing feeling tone is in eating. And eating is one of those great places where all six of our senses are engaged. We see the plate of food, the colors, the shapes on the plate. We smell the aromas of the food. We put the food in our mouth, and then there's the tactile sensation of slipperiness or roughness on the tongue. There's also the taste sensations on the tongue. There's the hearing as we chew and swallow. And there's all the thoughts about what we like, what we don't like, how I can get more of this, can I get that last piece? All of these experiences have a feeling tone. So it's a great place to start to observe feeling tone. And it can be a really good place to enjoy pleasant feeling tone if it's a meal that you like. So I'd recommend starting this exercise on a meal that you like. Another place that I find very helpful to observe feeling tone is in illness, when I'm sick. Often when we're sick, we feel like we're just miserable, and that's just the way it is. You know, there's just nothing pleasant at all about being sick. But what I've discovered in doing this exploration for myself on pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral experience when I'm ill is that there's definitely the unpleasant sensations. If I've got a cold, there's perhaps the heat in the body from a fever, a scratchiness in the throat that's unpleasant, a difficulty in breathing that's unpleasant. But there's also, I found, a kind of a very, if I'm not resisting the illness, if I just actually am with the bare experience of the illness, there's a kind of a very deep relaxation in the body that's pleasant in illness. And so it's a really great balance to experience some of the pleasant feelings in illness. Another good place to look for feeling tone is when there's a strong emotion present. See if you can just recognize the feeling tone of the emotion. What does the feeling tone of anger? What is the feeling tone of anger? What's the feeling tone of excitement? What's the feeling tone of happiness, sadness, grief? And leave yourself open. I mean, you may just have an immediate idea. Anger is probably unpleasant, and happiness is probably pleasant. But I've been surprised at times in looking at the feeling tone when I'm experiencing an emotion. So, for example, excitement. There are some pleasant experiences in excitement, but there's also a fair number of unpleasant experiences in excitement. So just be open to be surprised when you explore the feeling tone of emotions. Another place to pay attention to feeling tone is when there's some kind of reactivity present. So on one retreat that I was doing, I was experiencing a lot of aversion on this retreat. And during one Dharma talk, my teacher, Carol Wilson, said, if aversion is present, there's something unpleasant in your experience that you're not noticing. And so I took that as a kind of instruction for myself for the course of the retreat. And during one walking period, I was doing walking meditation. I was going back and forth, and things were fine. And then somebody came in and started doing walking very close, right next to me. An immediate aversion arose. And I decided to use this instruction, you know, what is unpleasant in this experience? And I started with the physical sense doors. So the person wasn't particularly unpleasant looking. They didn't smell bad. So those senses were fine. There was no unpleasant experience in them. They weren't bumping up against me, so there wasn't any unpleasant physical sensation. So I went through all of my physical sense doors and could not find an unpleasant sensation related to this person. And I thought, well, there must be some thought going on here, something in the mind. So I just was doing the walking. I hadn't particularly noticed any thoughts about this person, just this aversion. And so I just let myself be open as I continued walking to thoughts that might arise. And as I kept walking, this thought arose, he's weird. And I said, oh, there's a thought. And I kept walking a little bit more, and there was another thought that came up. He's in bare feet, and it's freezing cold outside. And as soon as I saw that, I recognized that the idea that this person was weird had come from this recognition that he had bare feet on. And the reaction was probably a result of a very subtle fear around thinking this person was weird. And as soon as I saw this chain of events, all of the aversion dropped away instantly. And in the next pass, I was kind of spontaneously doing metta for this person. So it's a very interesting exploration. So if you see some kind of reactivity in your mind, if you see either aversion or a really strong wanting, see if you can see. I mean, sometimes it's obvious what's pleasant and unpleasant in our experience that we're reacting to. Sometimes it's not so obvious. So just see if you can notice what it is. It's also interesting to explore our reaction to the neutral sensations, the neither pleasant nor unpleasant experiences. This can be more difficult because the neutral feeling is more subtle, and it can be hard to really rest with at first. But I'll tell a couple of stories from my own experience to help you see perhaps how this works as well. So on one retreat a few years ago, my mind became quite peaceful. And in a state of peacefulness, a lot of experience is neutral. It's just neither really pleasant nor really unpleasant. So I was spending quite a lot of time in this very neutral place where most of my experience was neutral. And I could start to see, when I was in this neutral place, I could see just a little bit of imbalance every now and then, it would start to slip into boredom or indifference, that there would be just a subtle drifting away from that just resting in neutral to boredom or indifference. And the boredom and indifference were unpleasant sensations. So that was kind of my trigger. I mean, that once I noticed that something was unpleasant, I knew I had kind of slipped off of the neutral. And another, on the same retreat, when I was spending more extended periods of time in neutral sensation, I could begin to see the mind kind of leaning into this neutral feeling, kind of waiting for something to happen. Maybe something good was going to happen. And what I discovered happened is that when nothing happened, the mind created this thought that said, you're a failure. So this is one of my strongest patterns, actually. This was a kind of eye-opening retreat to see this, that this pattern of feeling like I'm a failure, which often led into self-hatred and feelings of unworthiness, that very strong pattern could arise out of nothing. It was a neutral experience. Nothing was happening, and the mind said, you're a failure. So it was very helpful to see this on this retreat. I was so attuned to the neutral sensation that I could see that the thought, you're a failure, was a reaction to the waiting, that just subtle leaning into experience. And I could see that the waiting was a subtle reaction to the neutral. So it didn't really perpetuate in this particular retreat, the feelings of you're a failure didn't perpetuate. So as you become more familiar with the feeling tone, you'll start seeing it more often in your, more naturally in your experience, as opposed to having to direct your experience to actually look for the feeling tone. And then we can start to practice true mindfulness of feeling, as the Satipatthana Sutta suggests, that when something pleasant arises, know it's pleasant. When something unpleasant arises, know it's unpleasant, rather than actually having to scan, to actually look for pleasant and unpleasant in our experience. The last thing I'll say about the feeling tone is that it can kind of have a yin-yang quality to it. In the pleasant experience are the seeds of the unpleasant experience, and in the unpleasant experience are the seeds of the pleasant experience. So when an unpleasant experience ends, it's pleasant. And when a pleasant experience ends, it's unpleasant. The way neutral fits into this is kind of interesting, and I'll just read the section that describes this out of the suttas. Pleasant feeling is pleasant when it persists and painful when it changes. Painful feeling is painful when it persists and pleasant when it changes. Neither painful nor pleasant feeling is pleasant when there is knowledge of it, and painful when there is no knowledge of it. That was a very interesting insight for me, a recognition that the neutral experience, when we don't see it, it does lead right to the unpleasant because we tend to go into boredom or indifference. But when it's seen, when the neutral experience is really seen, it's very peaceful. So those are my thoughts about the topic of feeling, and I'd like to open it up to any comments or questions that you might have or things you'd like to say. Yeah. Oh, sure.
I have the experience that you describe with easy things, that mindfully paying attention to it, it might change. But I'd like to hear more about does this experience actually extend to really difficult things, whether it's excruciating physical pain or, you know, the loss of a child? You know, it gets harder to picture it in those cases.
Yeah, it actually does extend to the more difficult things. In my own experience, I haven't experienced something as painful as the loss of a child. I have experienced the breakup of a long-term relationship. It took years. It took years for it to go away, but it did. But I'll talk about it a little more with physical unpleasant sensation. So when there's really, really strong physical unpleasant sensation, what tends to happen is that we really react to it. We're averse to it. We don't like it. And we start contracting around it. And what can happen is there's actual physical contraction that happens that actually increases the physical aspect of the pain. But there's also a mental contraction, a kind of a resistance to the fact that the pain is there. And as we pay attention, we can start to notice the reactivity. And if we bring our attention to the reactivity, to the experience, as opposed to trying to just beat ourselves into being with the pain, rather be with what does it feel like to really not like this physical sensation, then we can start to see a loosening of that reactivity. And I've had the experience of very strong physical pain, seeing that aversion disappear. And then what I experience is that in the physical sensations, there is just very strong unpleasant sensation. I've even had it shift to be just very strong sensation, not even unpleasant anymore. That in discovering actually that the vast majority of what we call physical pain is actually our reactivity to it. And I think the same is also true when we lose a child or a mate, that really the vast majority of it is our reactivity to it. And the reactivity is a cycle of thoughts. And it is definitely possible to pay attention to the cycle of thoughts and use mindfulness to untangle the attachment to those thoughts. It can take a lot of time. It definitely can, particularly with something really big.
So you were talking about your walking meditation experience and kind of like sense like there's aversion. I feel like sometimes when I try to investigate, like, what's going on here, I feel like sometimes it, I don't know whether it pulls me out of the present, because then I start becoming reflective, like, oh, what was going on like 5 minutes ago or a minute or 2 minutes ago? I'm wondering, but when it sounded like when you were doing the inquiry, you actually got grounded in the present and you're waiting for things to unfold, as opposed to, I think I like start analyzing, doing kind of a retrospective of what happened in the last 5 minutes that made me feel this way, and then I'm totally pulled out of present.
Yeah, that's a very common thing when we start to try to analyze our experience or look at it. We're very skilled at that reflective process, and so it's a strong habit to move into that mode. The most helpful thing I found is grounding in the bodily experience. I mean, when I did that walking meditation exercise, it's kind of like I just checked in at each of the sense doors. You know, what's the physical experience? It was just a very subtle, there was definitely some reflection and some thinking going on there to do this exploration, but it was just kind of like shift from sense door to sense door and kind of just see what's unfolding at that sense door. Starting with the body, you know, what's happening in the body, what's happening in the visual field, what's happening in the auditory field, you know, just in the moment, what's happening. And then with the thoughts, it was kind of just a movement to open my mind to the possibility that thoughts were arising. You know, when you're really focused on physical sensations, there can be thoughts arising that you don't see. So it was kind of bringing my attention to the mind door, essentially, to say, well, what's happening in the mind? And just to kind of to rest in that unfolding of experience. On the other hand, I would just like to say that there is the possibility. I mean, on my first 3 month retreat, it was the middle of the retreat, and I was miserable. It was a shift in the retreat that the teachers had left, and new teachers were coming, and I didn't know who I would be interviewing with, and I felt abandoned by the teachers who'd left. I mean, it was a miserable feeling. And so I was just feeling miserable, and I was just paying attention to the feelings of misery. And there was kind of a feeling of compassion in my body about the being in this miserable state. I kind of felt like I was holding a four-year-old child. So that was kind of where my attention was grounded, in the sense of kind of being a four-year-old miserable child, and feeling that compassion for that little child. And then something shifted in my mind, and I thought, what actually is this misery? And I went to look for it in my body, and I couldn't find it. I went to look for it in my mind. I couldn't find it. It was gone. And I thought that I'd done something wrong. I thought, you know, well, it must be that, you know, I pulled myself out of it by looking at it. And I went to my teacher and I described this, and she said, believe your experience. That misery disappeared in that instant. It really did. And I said, oh, I thought I'd done something wrong. I thought I didn't know how to pay attention to emotions. And she said, no, there's often a little bit of identification with our experience. That there's a subtle holding on to the experience that happens. And when we really just look at it with clarity, it can just disappear in a split second. So I want to leave you open to the possibility that that is also happening in your experience. It can be that we're in a reflective mode, but if you find that it kind of disappears before you get into any reflective thought, just believe that it disappeared and move on. Next thing. What's next? Oh, it's 9 o'clock. One more.
Would you be able to give some advice for how to distinguish between a neutral feeling and one to which I am being numb?
That's a good question. That may have to be observing over time. It's not something you could probably tell in just a moment. There may be some other things around numbness that would give you a clue, some mental experiences of thoughts, or perhaps a feeling of subtle pushing away from an experience. But it would probably be pretty subtle. So just looking at it over time, I mean, if you can bring your attention to the experience, and just rest with it. If it feels neutral because you're numb and you're still resting with it, that's fine. You know, if it is numbness, it'll break up at some point if you've got your attention kept there. So thank you for your attention and your participation. Mm-hmm.